You know, some of my friends has asked me, why did you become a UU? For those of you who don't know, I'm a Baptist minister. And today, what we have here is why. Who would have thought that we'll have a Baptist choir singing in a UU church with a Baptist minister trying to be a UU minister? And there is a God. We all desire to be happy. From the moment of our birth to the last days on this earth, at our very core of our being, we all desire to be happy. When our founders of this nation gathered in Philadelphia over 200 years ago to draft the Declaration of Independence, they decided that happiness was so fundamental to the creation of this country, they wrote it right in the preamble. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. One of our most influential universalist theologians of the 19th century, Hosea Ballou, also passionately believed that it was our God-given right to be happy. In his most important theological work, A Treatise on Atonement, he insisted that human beings are created to be fulfilled and happy. In his own words, there is an immortal desire in every soul for the future existence of happiness. For the truth of this assertion, I appeal to the conscience of my readers. Why should the Almighty implant this desire in us if he never intended to satisfy it? So according to Ballou's theology, we have a God-given right to be happy. God is love, and when we feel this love, we are happy. And Jose Ballou made this a mandate for our liberal faith, human happiness. So I ask you, if happiness is a mandate of our liberal faith, and if it's a God-given right, why do we sometimes have so much trouble attaining it? From our childhood, we have been taught to believe in the possibility of personal happiness. We have structured our economic, social, and familiar lives in ways we believe would maximize our universal happiness. However, in our constant pursuit of happiness, we devote a great deal of our spiritual and emotional energy, yet happiness eludes us. Now, one reason I think we have so much trouble in attaining happiness is that perhaps we really don't know what it is. What is happiness anyway? So I decided to do some research. So I went to my trusted Webster College Dictionary. And yes, in the age of technology, I still use that dictionary. And found this definition. Happiness is defined as a quality or state of being happy. It is good fortune, pleasure, contentment, joy. Okay, that should be clear enough, right? But I thought these different definitions were overly filled with generalities. So I went to the most reliable source that I know. I Googled it. There I found some more definition from famous people defining what happiness meant to them. Sigmund Freud, happiness is to love and to work. Charles Schwartz of the Charlie Brown fame, happiness is a warm puppy. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart, happiness is like obscenity. We can't define it, but we know what it is when we see it. Gandhi says, happiness is when what you think, what you say, what you do are in harmony. Dennis Waitley, happiness is the spiritual experience of every living minute with love, grace, and gratitude. Now, believe me when I tell you this, there are quite a bit more definitions that I could have read to you this morning, but I only have a few minutes to finish this sermon. So happiness, as it appears to me, is an ambiguous term that can mean different things to different people. It is subjective, it is internalized, and it's a personal experience. And researchers have tried to identify sources by applying the scientific method to define happiness and how it might be attained. Philosophers and religious thinkers have defined happiness in terms of living a flourishing life rather than simply an emotional feeling. But is there really an objective way to define what happiness is? In my opinion, the most accurate way to define happiness is that feeling that exists inside of us when we can honestly say, I'm happy when I am happy. So how might we come by this personal happiness? Is it something that we can pursue? I read that human happiness cannot be achieved by an intentionally conscious effort, and if we constantly and desperately seek happiness, it would elude us. Now, maybe we can find it, only if we allow happiness to reveal itself at its own pace, in its own time and place. I know for me, happiness often comes at unexpected times, sometimes in the simpler moments of everyday life. When I wake up in the morning with my wife and dog lying next to me, that makes me very happy. When my two-year-old granddaughter calls and FaceTime us, and she's asked to speak to Papa. When I call to check on my mother and my sister, who are here with us today, just to find out how they're doing. And when my children call unexpectedly just to say hello. Yes, happiness floods at the most unexpected times. Those small, tender moments of connection with loved ones, opportunity when I can live life to its fullest. But one thing that we can be sure of, personal happiness has little to do with the outward life circumstances or one luck in family, career, or health. Now, I'm sure most of us have a mental idea of what would make us happy. And our culture celebrates the pursuit of money, fame, good looks, material possession, health, love, and power. But can those things really make us happy? Well, I haven't been at UU for a long time, a few years, and one thing that I quickly discovered that watching PBS is must-see TV. But if I can be honest with you, friends, don't tell the MFC, but I don't watch PBS very often. However, in doing my research for this sermon, I did happen to check out a program, The Emotional Life, which I went to the PBS website. And on this particular episode on happiness, I learned that chasing and achieving wealth, fame, good looks can actually make us less happy. During this episode, researchers asked young adults 2 years after graduating from college what they wanted in life. They also asked how much progress had they made towards their goals and asked them to rate their well-being and happiness. They found out that young adults who value goals such as personal growth, close relationships, and community involvement were more satisfied with their lives than those who wanted fame and fortune. Those who listed material things as high value exhibited more negative emotion, like shame and anger, more physical ailments, and less satisfaction with their lives. So this tells me whether a person is successful, healthy, or wealthy does not determine one's happiness. Happiness is seldom dependent upon the outward circumstances that life presents, and we need to look inside of the state of our souls. And by looking inward, we will discover that happiness is an interior reality of the heart, a psychological or spiritual state that can be quite independent of the external trappings of comfort, luxury, and good health, which may or may not come our way. So let's take a few moments to take an inside look of our souls. What are some of the things that might determine our happiness? Well, the first thing we might want to consider this morning is that happiness is a matter of choice. We can play a great role in determining how happy our lives are. Our attitudes, the action we take, our freedom to make certain choices in our lives can contribute to our own measure of happiness. But we're not powerless to make our lives more happier or more joyful, regardless of our circumstances. But while happiness is a matter of choice, I'm not suggesting that we purposely choose to be unhappy. However, we don't have total control of the mix of happiness and misery that all of us will experience one time or another. In addition to the happy moments of our lives, we have to accept that bad stuff can happen, regardless of the choices we make. Friends and loved ones would die. Things would go wrong in our lives. There would be brokenness, darkness, and sadness. But that doesn't mean we have to let these things take over our lives. Now, according to NPR correspondent Eric Weiner, happiness and unhappiness are not opposites. They are not two sides of the same coin. They are different coins. He reminds us that it's possible to be happy and sad at the same time. But when we quit fighting our sadness, we make room in our hearts for something else. And that is when we might just find ourselves surprised by happiness. The second thing we might want to consider this morning, that being in right relationships contribute to happiness. Right relationships can lead to authentic and enduring happiness. We start by looking outside of ourselves and reaching out to lives around us. And we can be truly happy when we reach out to our families, our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, spouse, and partners to establish right relationship of caring reciprocity. It is contact with and caring for others that have the real power to make us whole and bring us happiness. It is our engagement in the context of reciprocal relationship that makes us truly rich and brings us life most sustaining joy. And if you are a person who are merely devoted to only taking what you can from life, be it love, money, power, or whatever, and not giving back, you probably never be happy. Because happiness comes out of service and giving. Giving to others makes us happy, and happy people give. Giving what we have at the center of our spiritual life, and everything we have is a gift. So why not pass it on? Now, relative to giving, it's a giving of thanks, gratitude. Take the time each day just to say thanks. Thanks to your family, the people you see, the strangers you meet on the street, and even to your God. You'll be happier for it, and it's good for your soul. And the final thing we might want to consider today, that love is very important to happiness. We are happy when we live the life of love and when we relate to others in a caring way and we are willing to freely give our loves to others. Now, I'm not talking about giving of ourselves in a romantic or sensual way, although that kind of love can surely make us happy. I don't know about you, but it can make me happy. But I'm talking about unconditional love. The kind of love that reaches out and touches the world with grace and kindness. The kind of love that calls us as Unitarian Universalists to respect and honor the worth and dignity of every person. In the New Testament book of Corinthians, Paul writes, "Even if I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge and have all faith as to remove mountain, if I don't have love, I'd be not happy." So we're called to reach out to each other through love. So in our pursuit of happiness, if we are pursuing it for the materialistic trappings that will satisfy only our needs for personal wealth, success, and fame, then we'll never be truly happy. Only when we're willing to reach out beyond our personal self, our personal happiness, when we are willing to give of ourselves in service to others, when we are in loving, compassionate, and caring relationship that would nourish our souls and lift up the spirits of our brothers and sisters in this beloved community, it's when we can find true, authentic happiness. This is the kind of happiness that will endure throughout our lifetime. So I ask you today, are you happy? May this be so.